Welcome to Parsha Perspectives. This week we're not going to actually speak about the Parsha, we're going to speak about Sfiras HaOmer. I want to share with you a beautiful story and hopefully a very meaningful lesson that we could all hopefully gain from regarding Sfiras HaOmer. And we'll see where this takes us. There's a well-known story of the Astravster Rebbe. I don't really know who the Astravster Rebbe was, but apparently he was walking in a forest with Reb Chaim Ozer Grudzinski before the war. And Reb Chaim Ozer was the Gadol Hador before the war. He was the address to whom all the shilas of the world basically came to his desk. And they say that he was, besides being a person who carried the weight of Klal Yisrael on his shoulders, he was also a brilliant, to an incredible extent. They say that he was ambidextrous. And besides being able to use both hands at the same time, he was able to write two different tshuvos simultaneously, one with his right hand, one with his left hand. And they say that he was able to do that while passing a third tshuva to somebody orally who he was speaking to. So he was that kind of mind. So he was walking, Reb Chaim Ozer was walking with the Astravster Rebbe, and the Reb Chaim Ozer said, you know, Reb Ostra, the Astravster Rebbe, please share with me a var, tell me a nice Torah thought. You're a Gavra Rabba, share with me a nice Torah thought. So the Astravster Rebbe says, "Ah, you call me a Gavra Rabba, a great person? Let me tell you a Dvar Torah, because I have a different interpretation of what it means to be a Gavra Rabba." And listen to the Dvar Torah that the Astravster Rebbe shared with Reb Chaim Ozer Grudzinski. One of the troubling words in the Torah is the word Arbaim. Arbaim Yakenu. We know that the Torah says when a person violates one of the Los Asays in the Torah and they got the appropriate warnings and they're warned and they're witnesses, then they get 40 lashes. And we know that they really don't get 40, they only get 39. And the Gemara says, why, if the Torah says 40, why do we only give 39? And the Torah says, oh, because the way the free word is phrased, it doesn't say you should hit 40 in number, it says in the number 40, bimispar arba'im. It doesn't say arba'im bimispar, it says bimispar arba'im. It sounds like within 40 you should hit the person. Not 40, but within 40, I mean less than 40. So only give the person 39 malchus. That's what the Gemara says. Now, after the Gemara makes that point that we don't actually give 40 malchus, like the literal definition of the Torah's command, but we do 39, based on this drasha that Chazal have of how to re-understand the word, Rava makes the following comment. He says, how foolish people are. People are so foolish. You know, sometimes you look around, people are just so foolish. Kama tipshai, how foolish people are. You know why? Because everybody would stand up for a Sefer Torah, right? Everybody stands up for a Sefer Torah. But they don't stand up in front of a Gavra Rabba, in front of a great person, right? That was a word that Reb Chaim Ozer had said to the Astravster, please share the Dvar Torah, you're Gavra Rabba. So the Gemara, he's reminded of this Gemara. Rava says how funny it is that people stand up for a Sefer Torah that's walking by, and they don't stand up for a Talmud Chacham. And he explains what he means, because after all, the Torah says 40 Makos, and come the rabbis, and they seem to be more powerful, as if it were, than the Torah. The Torah says 40 Makos, and Chachamim come and say, no, it really means 39. So who seems to be more powerful? Who's controlling who? Is the Torah controlling the Chachamim? Or the Chachamim, as if it were, are controlling what the Torah says? It seems like the Chachamim are controlling what the Torah says. And therefore, how foolish people are that they stand up for a Torah and they don't stand up for Talmidei Chachamim. That's what Rava says. Really, we should stand up for Talmidei Chachamim even more, as demonstrated from the fact that Chachamim have the ability to control Torah, to define Torah, to form and reform Torah. If Torah said 40 and here Chachamim said 39, we do 39 Malkos. That's what Rava says. Now, what Rava is trying to say is that the power of Chachamim is so vast, so great, that they could even, you know, redefine what it says in the Torah. Ask the Astravster Rebbe a very simple question. We find this model of a number being written in the Torah and Chachamim interpreting it to mean something different elsewhere in the Torah. Not only elsewhere, but previously in the Torah. That Pasuk of Malkos is at the end of the Sefer Torah. It's in Kisetze and Dvarim. But earlier, in Parshas Emor, in Vayikra, we're going to get there in a week or two, about 4 weeks or so. In Parshas Emor, it says another time a number. Achachamim say, no, it really means one lefs. And that's regarding Sfiras HaOmer. V'sfaratam lachem imacharas HaShabbos. You should start counting Sfiras HaOmer on the second day of Pesach. Ad, how long should you count? Ad imacharas HaShabbos HaShvi'is Tisperu. Chamishim Yom. Count for 50 days. And what Achacham would say, what does it mean when he says count for 50 days? It means 49. So wait a second. You see here, when it comes to counting the Omer, where the Torah says 50, Achacham says it seems 49, the Achacham redefined the word 50 in the Torah to mean 49. So why is it that when Rava wanted to bring an example of how great Chachamim are, that Rava had to go all the way to Dvarim, which is later on in the Torah, to find a case where the Chachamim changed the word that meant 40 and really means 39. Chachamim didn't have to go, Rav didn't have to go all the way to Dvarim to find such an example. He could have found that example earlier when it comes to Parshas Emor and Vayikra, in the case of Sfiras HaOmer, that there are 40, the Torah says count 50 days and we count only 49. So says the Estras Rebbe to Rav Chaim Ozer Grodzinski, I'll tell you why. Because Rav is talking about how important it is that people should stand up for a Gavra Rabba. A Gavra Rab is not what you think. You think a Gavra Rab is a tremendous Talmud Chacham? You think a Gavra Rab is an Ilui? You think a Gavra Rab is a towering intellect? Gavra Rab is not just that. A Gavra Rab is somebody who has sensitivity for a fellow Jew. And therefore, where do you have a Gavra Rab? A Gavra Rab is that kind of Talmud Chacham, that kind of individual, who could see 40 lashes in the Torah and say, it can't be 40, it has to be 39 lashes. A Jew who has the ability to feel somebody else's pain and say, let's figure out a way, even though the Torah says to hit him and beat somebody 40 times, let's give him one less clap. That's the definition of a Gavra Rabba. And that's why, says Ashtrafs Rebbe to Reb Chaim Ozer, when the Gemara wanted to tell us, oh, how foolish is that people don't stand up for, they stand up for the Sefer Torah, but they don't stand up for a Gavra Rabba. It didn't say the first case in the Torah where there was a redefinition of what the number means from 50 to 49. No, it looked at a different time from 40 Malkus to 39 Malkus because that, even though it's later in the Torah, because that's where you see that people that at the Talmidei Chacham were a Gavra Rabba, were a great person, not just of towering intellect, but of towering sensitivity. That is the first half of what we're trying to prove. Who's the person who typically gets Malkus? That the Chachamim had to figure out a way to give him a little bit less than what the Torah seems to say literally. Well, the one who gets Malkus is somebody who violated Alosa Asemi Daraisa. Not only that, what are the halachas that determine that a person gets Malkus? They have to be witnesses, right? If a person did an Aveira without, you know, in private, he doesn't get Malkus. If there are two witnesses that testify, but it's not enough to have two witnesses either. The halacha is clear that the only time somebody would ever get punished by the Beis Din as if the two witnesses would testify that the violator violated whatever he did that he'd violated, and he got a hasra. He was warned by the witnesses or by some observers, don't do that. If you do that, it's against the Torah. If you do that, you'll be punished. You'll get Malkos. And even that's not enough. And the person who's doing the sin has to respond, yes, I know that, and I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. Only such a person, that's called a hasra, with a Kabbalah's hasra, with an acceptance and a realization and an acceptance saying, I'm doing it anyway, I don't care, that's the only person who gets Malkus. In other words, we're talking about not just a person who's doing Averas, but a person who does Averas willfully, with spite, with anger, knowing full well that he's going to be punished, and saying, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway. Afal pichein, I'm going to do it. That's the person that we have to show a sensitivity to. That's the person who there's a mitzvah to give Malkus to, and even for such a person, it's our job to figure out how to give one Malka less, one patch less. Sort of funny, nowadays, we're so from, we'd be machmir, we want to be machmir in the mitzvah of giving Malkus, the Torah says 40, we'd give 41, 42, to fulfill the mitzvah of giving Malkus. It actually is a mitzvah. The mitzvah of Ubi Arta Harami Kirbecha is a mitzvah for Beis Din to adjudicate and take care of people who are doing bad things. You think maybe you should be frum and give extra Malkus? No, no, no. A real Gavra Rabba is that human being who could figure out ways to give less pech to another Jew. Even somebody who's worthy of Malkus, somebody who doesn't deserve so much, somebody who's a willful sinner, even such a person, we try to save them from a little bit of pain. That's the sensitivity that a real Gavra Rabba has. And that's why when Rabba looked for who's a Gavra Rabba, how foolish it is that people stand up for the Sefer Torah, they don't stand up for a Gavra. He didn't look for the case of Sfiras HaOmer, instead of counting 50 days, we only count 49. Because a true Gavra Rabba is somebody who doesn't just define what the Torah means, but could do so with a sensitivity and a feeling of another Jew's pain, and save another Jew from 40 Malkas down to only 39 Malkas. So now we're in Sfiras HaOmer, and we understand that part of the preparation for Kabbalah HaTorah is not just letting, you know, not being able to shave. It's not just not going to weddings. There are not as many weddings and bar mitzvahs now. You know, bar mitzvahs there always are. It's not just a matter of not going to parties and not listening to music. It's a matter of preparing ourselves for Kabbalah HaTorah, but in a very specific way. A specific way of preparing for Kabbalah HaTorah by simultaneously commemorating the Avelis for Tamidei Rabbi Akiva, Shelo Nahagu Kavod Zeh LaZeh. I want to ask you a question about what it means, Shelo Nahagu Kavod Zeh LaZeh, and about why is it that we are misabel for the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva who died during these few weeks from Pesach till Lag BaOmer, thereabout. Why are we still in Avelis for them? It was a long time ago that they lived. Rabbi Akiva's students, they lived about 1,800 years ago, 1,700 years ago. We know, the halacha tells us, Rambam writes, Ein bochen al hames yosim yishloshi yamim. There's a time period called Bechi. Bechi for Avelos is the first few days, though that's a time of Bechi, just absolute grief of Bechi. Hesped is for 7 days. Okay, but the Rambam says, wait a second, that's for a normal person, a regular person. Aval Talmidei Chachamim, the greater the Talmidei Chacham, then you could be masked with them for a long time. Okay, so I understand. Maybe Rabbi Akiva's Talmidei Chacham were really great, and maybe for them, the Avelis for it should be for 33 days. And even for hundreds of years later, even 1,800 or 1,900 years later. Maybe that's what Rabbi Akiva's Talmidei were so great, right? That we should be misabel for the loss of their Torah and for who they were, such great people, even till today. But that can't be, because the Rambam continues that even if somebody is great, Ein bochen aleihem yosim yishloshim yom. Even for a great Talmud Chacham, you're not going to cry or be misabel more than 30 days. And the Rambam says, I'll prove it to you. Because who was the greatest Jew, the greatest Talmud Chacham to set foot on this planet? Moshe Rabbeinu. And how long was Moshe Rabbeinu's avelus? It wasn't eternal. It wasn't forever. It says, after 30 days, Vayitmu yemei bechi eva Moshe. They mourned him for 30 days, and then they stopped mourning. And continues the Rambam. And so too, you never have a hesped more than 12 years. Because the next greatest person was Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the author, the redactor of the Mishnah. They were misabel for him. They gave him hespeda for 12 months. After that, that's enough of mourning. Move on. We have to begin to... A person never forgets. But begin to move forward in a person's life. So why in the world are we still misabel for Talmidei Rebbe Akiva for their passing 1,809 years later? That's the question I want to ask you. Why are we still misabel for Talmidei Rebbe Akiva? I'd like to share with you a beautiful idea that might answer this question. In general, there are two reasons for Avelus. Number one is that there's a value to the Avelus. The mourning itself has a value. To appreciate the loss of a human being, all that a person encompasses and having lost that has a value in and of itself. But there's a second reason for Avelus. Avelus is also supposed to be an impetus for us to improve ourselves. And that's what the Rambam points out in Hilchos Avelis a little bit after he points out how far along a person is supposed to be misabel, but not more than that. Shortly after that, the Rambam writes that when a person is in Avelis, yefash pesh b'ma'asav v'yachzer b'tshuva. A person should consider their ways. A person who's in Avelis doesn't just mourn, they should also consider doing tshuva. They should wonder how they can improve themselves. In other words, Avelis has a dual goal. It's a two-pronged sword. On one hand, it's to be misabel, just to pay respect to the nifter, but it's also a goal of improving ourselves and taking it as a lesson to ourselves. What could we do to improve. Let this be a calling, a clarion call for me to improve myself. Oh, so listen to this. If there are indeed two different aspects to Avelus, maybe when the Rambam said that the mourning for a Nifter is limited to Shiva, to Shloshim, to the 12 months, maybe that's only in the aspect of the kavod to the mace, the mourning, the Avelus. But in the aspect, the second aspect that Avelus has, to stimulate us to come closer to Hashem, to cultivate self-improvement, to encourage us to grow, to engage in personal growth, that's not crying for the past. That's look forward, looking towards a brighter future. There's no reason why that should have a time constraint. If that's the case, the goal of Avelus during the 33 days of Sfira can't be just to have Avelus for their loss. There's no such halacha of Avelus 1,800 years after people die, after a person dies. Even the great Talmid Rabbi Akiva can't have a mitzvah or a halacha to mourn their death 1,800 years after they died. It must be that the purpose of the Avelus that we are commemorating now for Talmid Rabbi Akiva is not to realize how sad we are about their loss, but to learn the lesson of their demise for ourselves. Shelo nahagu kavod zeh lazeh. What can I do to be more sensitive to somebody else? To who? Even to somebody else who's chayav malkos. Somebody who's less than me, less intelligent than me, less religious than me, less fortunate than me, less everything than me. Even that person, how can I be more sensitive to them? What could I do to feel the pain of another Jew who's experiencing pain, physical pain, family trouble, financial hardship? I remember vividly when I was in yeshiva, I was probably maybe 19 years old, and I was at, you know, everything, I had no worries. Everything was great. I had everything I needed. Nobody I knew was sick. Nobody I knew had financial problems. Nobody I knew had any, you know, the world was just, everything was glorious. I was in yeshiva learning. I remember going to the mashgiach in yeshiva saying, you know, I'm davening Shmona Esrei. I can't have kavana. Rifa'enu, I don't know anyone who's sick. Baruch Aleinu, I don't know anyone who needs money. You know, all I have kavana is for atachonin, to help me learn better. But I can't have kavana. So the mashgiach said, no. You don't daven for yourself. That's not the goal of davening. When you daven, you think for a minute as you daven, you think about somebody who needs their refuah. You think in Baruch Aleinu, you have to Baruch Aleinu, think about a little boy who needs an afikomen present, whose parents can't afford an afikomen. And you think about that little boy, not yourself. You think about other people for your davening. That's how you have kavanah. You have kavanah by pausing in each bracha and thinking about who needs this Yeshua. For some reason, we're able to daydream very well, especially during Shmona Esrei. If we could use that koach that we have to daydream, to think about everything in the world, and to use that ability of daydreaming to think about what other people need, and to daven for what other people need, maybe we could learn the lesson of Talmid Rabbi Akiva. We could become more sensitive to other people, and then that will make us into a Gavur Rabba, the true Gavur Rabba. Not just a Gavur Rabba who could define how many 50 means 49 and 40 means 39, but a true Gavur Rabba who could take away, even when the Torah says to give a klap, to give a patch, to take one patch away, that's what makes us a true Gavur Rabba. And hopefully we should all strive for thinking of ways, thinking of through our own tefillah, actively, financially, whatever it is that we could do to alleviate the pain of another Jew. Bez Hashem, that should be the call for ourselves, this Sfiras HaOmer, that we're not here for ourselves, we're not just counting, we're not just being misabel for something that happened a long time ago. But we're using the petira of Talmid Rabbi Akiva, Shelo Nagu Kavod LaZeh, as an impetus and a motivation for us to strive higher in being careful with the kavod for one another, with feeling the pain of another Jew, with seeing how we could go out of our way to give somebody kavod. You give somebody a phone call, and you didn't have to. That's giving kavod to another Jew. You thought about me. This past Yontif, we went on a walk, and I figured once we're going on a walk, I went with my wife and two of my kids. We went for a long walk on the second day of Yontif. I said, instead of just going for a walk, let's knock on somebody's door who lives on the other side of Lawrence. We knocked on the door like, wow, what are you doing here? You live all the way down there. We said, well, came to London to wish you a good Yontif. Oh, that's giving kavod to somebody. I mean, I wanted to go for a walk because I like going for walks on Yontif. But at least once you're doing it, you could make somebody feel good. pick up the phone and call somebody. Wow, that's so nice of you to call. Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, just think of you and I, you know, how much I appreciate it. I just wanted to call you and wish you, you know, wish you a good day. See how your yontif went. That's not good kavod lezeh. That's the goal of this sphere somer. It's not to, you know, grow our beards long. It's not to not listen to music. It's to make ourselves more sensitive to one another. And hopefully we should all inculcate that lesson. And Be'ez Hashem, won't need any more avelas, won't need any more of the that aspect of the Sfira. We should be zocha to celebrate together with geula, with simcha, with caring for one another. Thank you all for joining, and I wish you all a wonderful day.